Today, we just finished the Chav Dalet Elul. Chav Dalet Elul is the yard site of the Chavetz Chaim. I learned this year that it's also the yard site of Cheskel Abramsky and the Minchas Chinuch. But Chav Dalet Elul has a special place in the hearts of Klal Yisrael because of the Chavetz Chaim. And I was thinking today that the impact that the Chavetz Chaim has on our davening is worthwhile giving expression to it. And we'll do so through one of the comments of the Chavetz Chaim. The opening perek of Tehillim for Yomim Neiron, the same perek Tehillim that we say on Sunday morning in the Shushal Yom, is LeDavid Mizmor LaHashem Ha'oretz Umlawa. And one of the striking psukim is Mi Yaleh B'Har Hashem Umi Yokum B'Mkom Kodesho. Who is the one that will ascend the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who is the one who will have his place in the places of sanctity? So the Chavetz Chaim explained that Mi Yaleh B'Har Hashem refers to a person who's ascending the Har HaBayis, the outside of the mountain. Mi Yokum B'Mkom Kodesho refers to who gets into the inner sanctum. And the Chavetz Chaim's interpretation was that B'Har Hashem are the mitzvahs we do in this world and our accomplishments in this world. And then David HaMelech wants to remind us that our mitzvahs and our achievements make it into the close precincts of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Just like there is a Mikta Shel Mata and a Mikta Shel Mala. So we should appreciate that the mitzvahs that we do, the avoda we do in this world, is both recognized for its achievement in this world, but he says how a Jew is moved if he realizes that his avoda, his mitzvahs, are received in the base hamikdash shel mala. They've become closely scrutinized and closely appreciated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Chavetz Chaim would explain that when a regular Jew does an aver, brings a korban chatas, and he has to, that is done on the outside of the base of the kodshik, the kodshim. But if a kohen gadol makes a mistake, so since his mitzvahs are of a much greater import and impact, so is the various as well, then he has to bring a korban, and the blood is sprinkled actually on the inside. And then he points out, Kedarko, that the first thing that the kohen gadol brings on Yom Kippur, the first of the avodas of Yom Kippur, is the ketores. Gemara says that the Ketores, Gemara Numa says the Ketores is a kapara. The incense offering inside Beis Hamikdash is a kapara for if we've misused our words, if we've spoken inappropriately. So the Chavetz Chaim points out that the very first thing that the Kohen Gadol has to achieve for Klal Yisrael is to make sure we have kapara for the way we use our speech. In Lanias Daiti, that's because Rebbe Bachaya says that we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam primarily with our Koyach HaDibur. We come to Kadosh Baruch Hu with our davening, with our machzorim, and with our using the same tools that we could have used in all sorts of different ways during the course of the year. So we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and we've used our mouth, our kelim, our words, to bring peace to people and to bring good cheer and to mechazik people. So then you can imagine the same tefillahs come from the same well-honed tools, so they make it right into the kodshi kodshi. So the kohen gadol has to be mechaper. The very first thing he does for Klal Yisrael is, let's get kapara in case we didn't speak the way we're supposed to speak. And so then the balance of the davening will be coming from kelim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have been cleansed, that have kapara ready, from tools that have been already forgiven for any of their missteps. So I was thinking, look at what the Chavetz Chaim accomplished. The Chavetz Chaim was the one who awakened Klal Yisrael to the concerns of speech. It was the now is not the time to appreciate the Chavetz Chaim, but for that one accomplishment for which he got his name, so to speak. So that was he brought to life a parsha that the Gemara speaks about, and then is very, very sparingly in our sources. The Chavetz Chaim is chiefly responsible that when Klal Yisrael comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam during any tefillah, that we come with a more empowered dibur, a more empowered speech. that we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Nirom. So our speech, our tefillas is so much more powerful, because the Chafetz Chaim has taught us that how to speak properly, and he reminds us of that, and because of his insight of mi yokum b'mkoim kodshoy, that a Jew should imagine, a person who has the dimyon should be able to imagine that our mitzvahs and our speech come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and by doing so, of course, we'll be much more careful in what we do and in the way that we do the things that we do. The other koyach hadibur, the other great goal and achievement of our ability to speak, is that speech can bring people together. And in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so the importance of bringing people together can't be overemphasized, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is the melech. We are mamlech Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'yishur melech b'sasev Rosh Hashanah. So a melech with a splintered group is not much of a melech. But a melech of people who are brought together, so that is, of course, a greater way of celebrating Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus. So that's an idea about the first parak of Tehillim that we say, Rosh Hashanah night. The parak of Tehillim with which we introduce the is, with which we introduce the sounding of the shofar, is a parak, again, that requires a lot of study, so let's just make a comment on that parak so we can have greater appreciation for the moments before Tkiyah Shofar. L'amnatzeach l'bnei Korach Mizmor. There are a series of Pirkei Tehillim that are either attributed to the Bnei Korach, to the children of Korach, probably to the descendants of Korach, perhaps they are David HaMelech's, attributing certain ideas to the Bnei Korach. What stands out about the Bnei Korach is the Bnei Korach Leimesu, a pasuk in Pinchas, where that even though Korach was taken in by the earthquake and the separation of the earth, but Bnei Korach, who stood by their father all along, and in the last minute they did tshuva. And out of them came, ultimately, Elkanah and Shmuel, came these Pirkei Tehillim, came at the beginning of Hodu, that we say every morning, is from the Bnei Korach. Why are we mentioning the Bnei Korach right before Tkiyah Shofar? So that's a moment when we think about the Bnei Korach. Apparently, this is one of the Pirkei Tehillim, one of the shiras that they sang in that last moment, when they were just hanging in there, and they made a decision. And it was a decision that was of such a great, fateful decision that ultimately they gave us these Pirkei Tehillim. What did they see at that moment? At that moment, they saw what every Jew should appreciate right before Tkiyah Shofar. Number one is that right before Tkiyah Shofar, it's the Yom HaDin, that at the very last moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a special love for tshuva, even in the last moment. Even in the situation which could be seen as the least sincere, the least genuine. He had nothing to lose at that point, right? But there was a certain emes that he had, and they realized right then and there, because Baruch Hu was saying to us, Chazal put in the machzer, before the Kiyah Shofar, that one has a hurry tshuva, so it's not going to be, nobody is in as bad a position as the Bnei Korach. And Bnei Korach, ultimately, because of their hurry tshuva at that moment, they didn't do anything different. They were mahara b'tshuva. They thought they made a terrible mistake. And at that point, they wanted to separate themselves. So see how Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that, the initial impulse for tshuva, and what a great impact it can have. At that moment, the Bnei Korach also appreciated the importance of really the terrible disappointment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, and the Klal Yisrael have when Jews are disagreeing with each other, when Jews are fighting each other. So at that moment, their appreciation for the unity of Klal Yisrael became so apparent and so remarkable. That's our Tkiyah Shofar. We sound all the different minhagim. We sound our Tashrat, our Tashana Tarat. We often say in Shurim are the many different minhagim that were practiced. We do Neshima Achas, and we do Shtei Neshimos. We do flat teruos, and it's shvarm, we do curled shvarm. We try to please as many shitas as possible, so that at the end of the day, Any Jew can say, I heard the tkiyas of my grandparents, my great-grandparents. It's a moment of great achdus. I'm not seyach libnei kerach mizmor, because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a melech, v'ibishur melech misasei rosh hayom. So the two ideas which the Shofar catches, bringing klal malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bringing a moment of hiru tshuva, so those are caught by Bnei Korach. Kolo amim tikuchof harilu lekim bekoil rina. Harilu lekim means sometimes you have to have a tzibrach and a coil, a difficult coil, but out of that difficult coil can come a great moment of joy. And that's what the Bnei Korach represent for us, and that's why their expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus is the one that Klal Yisrael adopted to say seven times before Tkiyas Shofar. I want to close with an idea that we have mentioned in the past. The Shofar, Chazal say, in addition to being the Shofar of coronating the Ribbono Shel Olam, is also the Shofar of Yitzchak, the Shofar of the Akedah. And we remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the Akedah, and during the Shofar, we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, please remember the Akedah. There, many have the minog of saying the Akedah every single day, and we explained in a few years ago from Shlomo Brevda, one of the great Bali Mus in America, that we explained that what is the value of us expressing the Akedah? If anything, when I express the Akedah, it could be, God forbid, a kidrug against me, because I don't think I could do what Avram did. I don't think I could do what Yitzchak did. So almost when we discuss the Akedah, we're almost saying, I don't know if this is, what's the zchus of mentioning the Akedah? So Shlomo Rebbe says, Klal Yisrael understands that, because Baruch Hu understands that, but the fact that we recognize that this is a goal, I may not be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to do it at Yitzchak Avinu did. But I understand that that's the gold standard of Yiras Shemayim. That's the gold standard. I don't see it as something that is bizarre, something that is foreign. I see it as the goal of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva spent his whole life pining for that moment. So I understand Rabbi Akiva. I understand the Yitzchak. I know that I don't think I could be Omid B'Nisoya. But the fact that we give expression to it. And then we can bring this down to life with the story that I came across of, I think, the first Slonim Rebbe, that he was once traveling, and he was staying in somebody's, in an inn of some sort, and there was a Jew there that made a tremendous impression upon him. His aras panim, the features, the joy in his face, the life that he had to him, he said, this person must be a very unusual person. And he said, I'll watch him and I'll learn something from him. So he watched him, he saw, he didn't have in Shachas Min Chamar, he didn't say Barachas Min Antvillan, he didn't know what. So Vahiyah Yom was the last day, he figured, I only have one more day to figure out what this Jew has. So he engaged the Jew in conversation, and the Jew admitted that he was an unlettered person, he didn't have the chance to study, to learn, he doesn't know how to daven, and he says, but I do talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu day in and day out. So he said, this is what I've been waiting for. So he said, and what do you say to Ribbono Shel Olam? So I don't know what the story, but he writes that he was not impressed with his shachris and minchah mar. But then, and just as the sun rose about to say, I'm not going to crack this, won't forget, he said, but I also talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu before I go to sleep. So the sun rose, and what do you say to the Ribbono Shel Olam? He says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm here to give you kavod. And if tomorrow I'm going to be able to give you kavod, that's worth getting up tomorrow morning. But if I can't give you kavod tomorrow, you don't have to wake me up tomorrow morning. So that's the sense that a Jew feels when we think of the Akedas Yitzchak. We may be not beyond the Madrega that we could be Oymed bin Nisayon, but when we review the story of Yitzchak, we can appreciate that our tachlis over here, and we hear the kol shofar, and we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember Akedas Yitzchak, we can say about ourselves that we do understand that our shlichus in this world is to cover to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what gives us our chiyus, and that's what ultimately will give us the tremendous zechuyus. So we reviewed the first perek that we say, the opening perek, the perek of Tehillim, right before Tekiyah Shevel and Tehillim Dekairach, and some thoughts we can have when we're thinking about the many times that the Akedas Yitzchak is discussed, whether it's Lichos next week, or whether it's over the course of the Yom Tov.
It'll be okay. I'll push it on. Okay. Good. Okay, Brishas Rabbi Neuberger. In the Likutei Maharich, which was a late 19th century collection of Minhagim, he tells a story about a fellow who came to Rav Mordechai of Nadvarna right before Rosh Hashanah to say goodbye to the Rebbe, to the Tzaddik, someone who he was connected to. And the Rebbe said, "Where are you going? Why are you leaving?" So he said, I need to travel. I need to go home. I need to prepare myself for Rosh Hashanah. I need to go home and study the Machzor. I need to get ready." So he says to him, "You need to go and study the Machzor. What exactly are you studying in the Machzor?" So he says, "Rebbe, I have to look over the Machzor. I have to make sure that I know what it says in the Machzor." So he says to him, "I don't understand." He says, "The Machzor is the exact same Machzor that you had last year. What you need to be thinking about during these days is not preparing the Machzor, but preparing ourselves." This is not my excuse to get out of the Machzor Shir. I'm not looking to, but it takes a long time to prepare the Machzor. So I'm going to talk about one theme that appears throughout the Machzor, because of course these are days where really we're preparing ourselves. We're preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah. Rav Aaron of Belz used to say that the days of Elul are a bechina, are an expression of what the Mishnah calls in Maseches Brachos, Chasidim Rishonim Hayushoim Shah Achas. Right? That people used to sit for an hour before davening to prepare themselves for davening. And all of Elul is really this preparatory stage before we come to be Omed Lifnei HaMelech and to daven before Hashem. So I want to speak about one theme that appears many, many times throughout the Machzor, a term that comes up on numerous occasions, a theme, a term, a concept, and that is the concept of Emes. Rabbi Judah Michelle spoke about it so beautifully the other night by Slichos, for those who were there. But we find over and over again this theme of Emes. Just a few examples. In the Bracha by Kedusha Sayom, of Rosh Hashanah, v'tayr libeinu l'avdecha be'emes, ki ata elokim emes, udvarcha emes, v'kayim la'ad. And then we go into the mamash, the bracha, on the day, on the Kedusha Sayom, baruch ata Hashem, melech al kol aretz, mekadesh Yisrael, v'yom hazikaron. So we really introduce the, in a certain sense, the central bracha of the davening by describing Hashem's emes. Or how about the fact that it says throughout again the davening, Emes ki ata hu yotzram. Chol ma'aminim shehu dayan emes. And there are many, many, many examples throughout the davening of Rosh Hashanah. So what exactly is this theme of emes that is highlighted during the Yom Novra? The Eretz Tzvi, not Rav Shechter Sefer, which just has a similar title, but the Eretz Tzvi of Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, who is one of the Rashi Yeshiva, in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, the Kodesh Glover, who died al Kiddush Hashem, he writes in this past week's Parsha two statements from the Kotzker Rebbe. He says, "Shamati, I heard in the name of the Kotzker Zatzal, who said, Bezeh Lashon, my Yiddish isn't great, Rosh Hashanah mishpat man ois vasver is. Rosh Hashanah judges what things are, what things truly are. Rosh Hashanah is a judgment on how things are be'emes, what they really are." What exactly does that mean? In general, mishpat actually is associated with emes. Where do we find that mishpat and emes go hand in hand? It's a Rashi in Parshas Tetzava. The choshen mishpat, Rashi comments over there in Shmos Perach Chavches, Rashi says, Davar Acher, in his second pshat, mishpat, is called the choshen mishpat, shemivarer dvarov, it substantiates its statements, that which it claims, v'havtachaso emes. Called the Choshen Mishpat because it speaks the truth. Mishpat goes hand in hand with Emes. However, the Kotzker Rebbe said again that Rosh Hashanah judges what is true. And then he adds another line, Od Higid Hagona Kadosh Mikotz. The Kotzker Rebbe further said, Kotzker Rebbe was known, of course, for the Midah of Emes. They used to say, paraphrasing the Pasuk, Emes Mi Eretz Titzmach, They would say, Emes mikotzk titzmach. The Kotzker was known to be very emistic, very demanding. The Kotzker Rebbe said, She'i efshar l'shum adam la'agia la'amitas nekudas ha'emes. It's impossible for a person to come to that place, to that point inside oneself called emes. Rak ha'kohen gadol b'yom ha'kippurim b'shah shahayu lifnai v'lifnim. It's the Kotzker. It's impossible for a person to reach the true level of emes except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he goes into Kodesh Kadashim. What exactly does this mean? Rosh Hashanah is a time of emes. Again, the davening highlights that. Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is striving to enter into a place of emes. So what exactly is going on here? Mishpat is synonymous with emes, as we see from Rashi, by the Choshen Mishpat. So let's roll things back to the beginning. Let's roll things back to the beginning of creation. Again, we refer to Hashem as a God who is emes. Hashem is a Dayan ha-emes. He's an Elokim emes, Udvarcha emes. Again, throughout the davening. We know from the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Hey and Aleph, that Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The stamp, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's really no better way to describe Hashem than to describe Hashem as emes. Hashem Elokeichem, emes. Hashem is emes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He intended to create the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a world that somehow was a blend of Din and Emes, because Din and Emes really are synonymous. The opening words of the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elokim. It doesn't say Bereshis Bara Hashem, it says it's God's name of judgment, Bereshis Bara Elokim, it's a name of Midas HaDin. Says the Baal HaTurim, and he has many Ramazim, Kedarko B'Kodesh, says the Baal HaTurim, Bereshis Bara Elokim, again, Elokim is Hashem's name of judgment, Sofei Tevos Emes, Bereshis Bara Elokim, the last three letters spell out Emes, Melamed Shabara Kadosh Baruch Hu HaOlam Be'Emes. Hashem created the world with this midah of Emes. Din and Emes go hand in hand. Din and Emes, as the Kotzker said, Rosh Hashanah judges what is true, judges things as they truly are. K'mo she'nemar Rosh Devarcha Emes. The beginning of your words are true. Rosh Hashanah is a time of truth. Rosh Devarcha, the beginning of the Chumash, is Emes. It hints to Emes. Bereshis Bara Elokim, says the Baal HaTurim, is Sofei Tevos Emes. Bara Elokim Es, says the Baal HaTurim, Sofei Tevos Emes. Vayar Elokim Es, Sofei Tevos Emes. You look at the opening psukim of the Chumash, and there are many, many hints to Emes. Vayivra Elokim Es, Sofei Tevos Emes. Bara Elokim La'asos, Bara Elokim La'asos, Sofei Tevos Emes. Baal HaTurim has even more Ramazim in this regard. But when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we come back to sort of that starting point of creation. So it's a time of Din, it's a time of Elokim, of Midas HaDin, and it's a time of Emes, which again always go hand in hand. And then the Baal HaTurim says that perhaps we can go a step further. Bereshis Bara Elokim is Gematria Berosh Hashanah Nivra, that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. And the very first word of the Torah, Bereshis, says the Baal HaTurim, is Osios Aleph B'Tishrei. So in a certain sense, when we come back to that starting point, it's a time of Din, it's a time of Mishpat, and it's a time of Emes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, as we read on in the story, thankfully for our sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to be Mishtatef, to add, to join together with that name Elokim, his name Yudke Vavke, his name of compassion and mercy and kindness. Hashem saw, as it were, that the world could not exist al pi midas hadin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu transitioned, so to speak, from that perspective of Elokim to a perspective of Yudke Vavke. In a certain sense, when we come back to the beginning of the Torah, those very first few words, Bereshis, says the Baal HaTurim, Aleph B'Tishrei, in a certain sense, Bereshis Bar Elokim. We have to once again think about the ideal world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create. Not the mercy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us after the fact when He realizes that we can't handle it. We may tap into that on Rosh Hashanah as well. But we have to show up on Rosh Hashanah, and the reason that the davening is highlighting Emes, 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 is because we're trying to, in a certain sense, meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in carrying out that original plan. What could perhaps be called Emes La'amito as opposed to Emes. The Sfarim explain that Beis Hillel is Emes, and Beis Shammai is also Emes. They're both Emes. What's the difference between Hillel, the more gentle, compassionate, as we imagine Hillel and Shitas Beis Hillel throughout Shas, who which we paskin like in the overall majority of cases, right, we picture Hillel to be a little softer, a little bit more compassionate. Shammai is absolutely strict, absolutely demanding. Take one example, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, the prospective convert who comes to Hillel, and Hillel is Makari of him, and Shammai chases him out of town. He drives him away by Amas HaBinyan. Amas HaBinyan, he chases him away. If you're not going to be emistic, if you're not going to be emes la'amito, then Shammai says, I have no place for you. Hillel is an emes that takes into consideration some of the context, some of the other pieces. Shammai is emes la'amito. Bereshis bara Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned a world that could be emes la'amito, an absolute unwavering truth. The reality was it couldn't last that way, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tempered that emes with his midah of chesed. But on Rosh Hashanah, We try to partner with Hashem. We try to say, you know what? Maybe we can do it this year, emes la'amito. Maybe we can take it up a notch and not rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion, which is also true given the context of our struggles and the difficulties we face. But we come back to Aleph Tishrei, Bereishis Bara Elokim, and we say, what would emes la'amito look like? There's a beautiful little vignette, a little story, a conversation between Rabbi Nachman of Breslov and his Talmud Muvak Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson had a very painful and difficult life, a life of poverty, a life of much oppression from family members and from within and from without. And at one point he was being pressured by his Rebbetzin to take a particular rabbinic post, which Rav Nosson was wary about, to say the least. But financially it would have been very helpful. And he went to his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, to ask him what he should do. So he spoke it over with his Rebbe, and Rabbi Nachman told him, you should take the job. So he says, Rebbe, be'emes, I should take the job? So Rabbi Nachman says, yes, be'emes, you should take the job. It's appropriate. It's appropriate for you to take this position. Even though you have your concerns, I understand the concerns, but yes, be'emes, you should take the job. And then Rabbi Nosson said to his Rebbe, he said, but Rebbe, emes la'amito, I should take the job? So he said, emes la'amito, you shouldn't take the job. Emes la'amito, you shouldn't take the job. Emes la'amito, you should be my Talmud who's going to transmit my Torah to the world, and you should be the Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov that you are. Right? There's emes and there's emes la'amito. Hashem has a vision of an emes la'amito. An emes la'amito, again, that's unwavering, and that does the right thing for the right reason, the absolute right reason. Not with some cheshbon, not with some calculation, not with some explanation why this is also true. But an emes la'amito. When we say Kiddush Levana, we refer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a poel emes shepu'laso emes. What does that term mean? Poel emes shepu'laso emes. In the Agra de Kala from the Bnei Yisachar in Parshas Bereishis, he explains the term. He says very often when a person is a poel, the person is creating something. A person is an uman, he's a craftsman. So he's makdim b'machshavto lasos davar hanifal b'chadei lahashlim chesrono. Why does a person create something? He gives the example of a person who's making a watch. Why does a person make a watch? Is it for the sake of the watch? Not for the sake of the watch. My sake, I would like to be able to tell the time. Or perhaps I have a business where I sell fancy, handmade, custom watches. Right? It's not really for the sake of the kli, it's for the sake of the individual who's trying to fill a certain void in his or her life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a poel emes, a true craftsman, shepu'ulaso emes, who creates not to fill a void, but for the ultimate, most emistic reason. Masha'ein kein habore yisbarach shemo. Shalim betachlis ha'shleimus. Hashem has everything that he needs. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to act, to do, Hashem does right for the absolute right reason. Lo asa pu'ulaso lahashlim chesrono. Hashem is not trying to fill a void. Chas v'shalom, ke'eno bal chisaron, and that's what he says is called a poel emes, shepu'laso emes. A person who does something that's true for the truest reason. And says the Bnei Yisachar in his Agra de Kala, commentary on Chumash, in Parshas Bereishis, v'yotze lanu mizeh ikar gadol ve'emunah. If we contemplate the fact that everything Hashem does is without ulterior motive, it's not with some type of calculation or some type of justification or rationalization. We learn from here, v'tzorech odazu l'torah v'lavod, that teaches us an amazing principle when it comes to our relationship with Torah and avodas Hashem. Kevan shenoda lanu shahapoel hatov baruch hu pulasu lahitiv libriosov. We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are absolutely true and they serve the ultimate purpose. That means that anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us is absolute, is true, and is for the ultimate good. For the purpose that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Makor HaTov, is Rotza Lehitiv. He wants to do good for others. So when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we roll back the clock, so to speak. Bereishis Bara Elokim. We come back to that point, that starting point of Emes. Not where we have to negotiate with Hashem. But we say, Hashem, this year I want to try to strive to be a little bit more Emes La'amito. And like the Kotzker Rebbe said on Rosh Hashanah, a Jew is being judged. Who is he or who is she be'emes? Not with an explanation of my averos, but be'emes. Who am I? What have I done right? Be'emes. What have I done wrong? Be'emes. Have I done anything emes la'amito in my life? Or is everything with some type of explanation or justification? The Kotzker Rebbe again said that what? That the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, when he enters into Kodesh Kadashim, reaches that level of that Nekuda of Emes. He reaches the highest point, the deepest place, the ultimate truth. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we're working on that path. Why do we sound the shofar? Says the Rambam in Ilchos Tshuva in the third parak. The shofar comes to wake us up, to get us in tune with a reality, a higher recognition of self. And it comes to remind us of a creator, because unfortunately there are Elu HaShoychachim Es HaEmes. There are people who forget the truth sometimes. Behevle hazman. Through the silliness of time, the passage of time, we waste time. We kill time. Terrible expression. The shofar comes to wake us up and to restore us to that place called Emes. And therefore, it's not by chance. And this I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman 11 years ago in a Tshuva Drasha. He said in the name of the Bodhislava Rav, which I believe is his uncle, that how many sounds of the shofar do we sound from the beginning of Elul through Yom HaKippur? An amazing calculation. If you look in the Bach, in Tafkuf Tzadi Beis, the Bach says that there are those who have a minhag to sound a full 10 blasts every morning. We do somewhat of a, most people do somewhat of an abridged shofar blast throughout Chodesh Elul. There are those who sound a full set. Tkiya Shvarim, Tkiya, Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya, Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya. A full set of 10 sounds. So if that's true, how many days in Elul do we blow the shofar? 24 days. You need to take off four Shabbosim, you need to take off Erev Rosh Hashanah, 24 days, 10 blasts a day, that's 240 sounds of the shofar. How many sounds do we make over the course of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? 100 each day, right? That's 200 more, so up to 440. On Yom Kippur, we end with the Tekiyah Gedola, that 441st blast. 441, the Bodhislav Rav said, is Gematria Emes. So from the beginning of Elul, through that final Tekiyah Gedola, at the end of Yom HaKippurim, it's a process of coming to this Nekuda of Emes. And again, on a practical level, on a simple level for ourselves, again, striving to be a little bit more Emes Lamito, to be a little bit more like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Poel Emes Shepulaso Emes, to do the right things for the right reasons, not for ulterior motives. To be able to say, Hashem, I know you're going to have Rachmanis, the same way you did when you created the world, but as you recreate the world, we strive for what? Bereishis. Same letters, Aleph B'Tishrei. We strive for Bereishis Bar Elokim. We want to be able to meet your Mishpat, which is synonymous with Emes. Mora Nechama Leibovich used to say, she said that in school they taught me how important it is to be my best and to act in a truthful way between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But Mora Nechama said, but in my home, they taught me that I have to be my best and be honest and true to myself between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, the rest of the year also. A Jew has to be Emes, not just during these days, but to try to be Emesic all the time. Today was the yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. I saw in several Sfarim that it was said about the Chafetz Chaim was the same Chafetz Chaim by Ne'ila on Yom HaKippurim as he was on a regular Monday afternoon davening Mencha. He didn't turn up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt that wasn't Emes. He became sincere and authentic through and through. In the Machzor of Rav Soloveitchik, the Rosh Hashanah Machzor, on page 320 to 322, the Rav said an individual must be the same person on the street, at home, in the office, in his bedroom, and in shul, as he is when he stands wrapped in his talis during the ilah. And Rav Soloveitchik goes on to describe those people who are hypocrites, who act one way in one environment, and act a different way in a different environment. And he goes on to say that my father wasn't like that, my grandfather wasn't like that. Rav Chaim, he said, actually wore very simple garb, because he insisted that the way that I dress at home is the way that I dress in the street. I don't put on my rabbinic garb to try to impress people. Rav Chaim Brisker, a real ish emes. So Mir Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us during these days ahead. Again, throughout the Machzor, we come back to this theme of emes. Din is emes. But again, to strive for that lofty madreg of emes la'amito. And I'll just conclude, I heard once from a Rav a couple of years ago, he said a remez, he said that the gematria of ksiva v'chasima tova is gematria Elul plus Rosh Hashanah, 928. Okay, nice remez. But I realized today an amazing thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me a little gift today. That ksiva v'chasima tova, the gematria 928, is also the same exact gematria as emes la'amito, 928. So Mir Hashem, if we can be more emistic, not just emes, again, the Beis Hillel emes, but the lichat chila, breishas var lokim beis emes. A polo emes, shepulaso emes. To really do right for the right reason, then Mir Tzah Shem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless each and every one of us with a chesiva v'chesima tova.
Sam, you approve? You approve, Sam? You approve? Okay. Fantastic. Brishus Ravanim. The middle brachas of Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, are in many ways the highlight. They are what's most unique. Rosh Hashanah is the only time all year long that we have a nine Bracha Shemona Esrei, often we have 7, often we have 18, 19, but when else, other than Rosh Hashanah Musaf, there are 9 Bracha Shemona Esrei. Not only is it unique in that way, but as we know, it's the most significant in terms of the mitzvah shofar. And it may even, Rishonim discusses that, the Rabbanim, that the Raisa, it may well be a mitzvah to intertwine, to blow the shofar, but intertwine the shofar with the psukim of Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, and this becomes an incredibly significant context. So if we're seeking to understand the davening on Rosh Hashanah more deeply, looking to those central brachas of the Rosh Hashanah Musaf definitely seems like a good place to start. And when we think about those brachas, the first two we can more or less understand where they're driving. Certainly Malchus V'Kadosh Baruch Hu is a very central theme throughout Rosh Hashanah, and the notion of accepting the all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seeking to align our Ratzin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and seeking to accept our role as Avdei Hashem, that's obviously a very central concept. Zichronos, thinking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is well aware of what we do and what we think and where we're at, that we understand as well. The Bracha of Shofros is a little curious. Obviously, we are blowing Shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and the truth is, when the Gemara in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah presents the concept of Machos, Zichronos, and Shofros, the Gemara makes Shofar sound more like a tool for the other two. The Gemara says, Imru lefanei Malchus, you're going to recite Pesuk of Malchus, Kedei shetam lichunei aleichem. That's going to be part of the process of being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves. And Zichronos, Kedei sheyal aleichem lefanei. And it says Zichronos to hopefully in a positive way, present the memories of ourselves of the last year to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uva meh, and with what? The shofar. So offhand it sounds like, there's a theme of Malchus, the theme of the Zichronos, right? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the abstract, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and then the Zikar, presumably, is the way in which he interacts with us. And then shofar is the tool that we use for the other two. But the problem is, but we actually say psukim of shofros. It's not just that we blow the shofar in conjunction with speaking about Malchus and speaking about Zichronos, we say psukim of shofars also. Now why? What's that all about? So maybe you'll say, okay, it's to highlight the mitzvah of shofar. Because the mitzvah of shofar is not only going to blow shofar in conjunction with the two major themes, but let's also articulate the mitzvah of shofar. The problem is that you actually open the machzor and look at the mitzvah, at the bracha of shofars, it doesn't say that much about the mitzvah of shofar. We all know how it starts. At Neglesa Banan Kvodecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to us in the cloud. Begins the opening of the bracha. Each of these three brachas has an opening, psuk in the middle, and then a close. So the opening is all about Mamon Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us at Mount Sinai and taught us the Torah and so on and so forth. And that sort of, that transitions us into the first set of three psukim. Each of the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar says three psukim of Chumash, three of Ksuvim from Tehillim, three of Nevi'im, and then a closer back from Chumash, a total of 10 psukim. So we sort of struggle to understand, why is the opening about Mamon Har Sinai? That was an episode in Jewish history where there was a shofar, but that's presumably not what the bracha is about. Bracha is not Shavuos, this is Rosh Hashanah. So you expect the opener to be about shofar, about the mitzvah of shofar, about shofar Rosh Hashanah. And then you say, well, it transitions us into the first set of psukim, the three psukim of Chumash, which, by the way, are all about Mamon Har Sinai. But that just begs the question, well, why are those at Mamon Har Sinai? Why not have the three psukim from Chumash be psukim about the mitzvah of shofar, shofar and Rosh Hashanah? We don't lack psukim in Chumash that just talk about shofar in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Teruah, Zichur and Teruah, there's plenty to use. Now, the entire opening of the bracha, the psicha and the three psukim from Chumash, have what seems at first to be an odd focus on Mamon Har Sinai and Matan Torah rather than on shofar per se. So you could have said the following. Maybe one way of looking at it would be the Rav Yosef Albo is one of the Rishonim who wrote extensively on the topic of Ikari Emuna, the Ani Mamans, and he sought to think about the more or less the same content that the Rambam divided into 13 Ani Mamans into instead into three. We often intertwine. Yosef Albo Sefer Ikarim and the Rambam 13 Imamans by thinking about the 13 Imamans as three categories. The first five are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam breaks it down into specifics. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one and he has no body, he's the only one to whom we should address tefillah and so on and so forth. Then the next four, Imamans 6, 7, 8, and 9 are the second set, and those are about Torah. We believe in Nevuah, that God communicates with people, specifically with Moshe Rabbeinu, and to Moshe Rabbeinu uniquely conveyed Torah, a Torah which is durable and lasting forever. So the first set of five are about Hashem, the second set of four are about Torah, Nevuah and Torah, and then the last four are about the consequences of Torah, Schar V'Yonesh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we do, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward and punish in general, and specifically, Yemosa Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim. That's where Yosef Alba looks at it. Overall, three concepts. Hashem, what is this Hashem in whom we believe? Torah, Nevuah, and Torah from Hashem, Torah min Hashemayim, and finally, Schar V'Yonesh. I believe as Yosef Alba himself points out in his Sefer Ikarim, and others far him quote this subsequently, that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar's corresponds. The Malchus is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zichronos is about Schar V'Yonesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we do, and there are consequences, we hope, good consequences for good actions. And Shofros, well, that's the middle chunk is Torah min Hashemayim. And after all, that is how the bracha opens. The bracha opens with a focus on Mamon Har Sinai and Matan Torah. So Yosef Alba says, there you have it. Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, Hashem, Schar V'Yonesh, and Torah. But again, that just begs the question that that's not shofar. That's Torah also. We could have imagined that there should be three central brachas, Malchus, Zichronos and Mitzvos. Machios, Zichronos, and Torah. We would understand that well. But we call them Shofros. And the later Psukim aren't about Mamon Har Sinai, just the opening three Psukim from Chumash. As a matter of fact, if you look at the end of the Bracha of Shofros, it's also curious, but in a different direction. The end of the Bracha of Shofros, certainly the last set of Psukim, the three psukim from Nevi'im are all about shofar limosa Mashiach, the shofar of Geula. Hayabimahu, you talk about shofar, God of the Meretz Asher, and so on and so forth. It's the shofar of Geula. So they also, why not? The first shofar is about Mamon Har Sinai, the last shofar is about Geula. So the bracha isn't all about Mamon Har Sinai. If anything, if Geula would have belonged from a Yosef Alba perspective, together with the Zichronos, it's part of the Schar V'Yonesh theme. Something more is going on when it comes to shofar. So yes, certainly, if Yosef Alba says the first theme that's highlighted in the bracha is the theme of Mamre Har Sinai. But that's not what the bracha as a whole is about. So how do you pull it together? What is the bracha of Shofros? How does it pull all these pieces together? On the one hand, you have the Mamre Har Sinai at the beginning, Geula at the end, and somehow it's a bracha about Shofar. And it's worth noticing Shofar as a tool. Remember where we began, the Gemara said, Malchios highlight the theme of Hamlachas Hashem, Zechronos highlight the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu noticing us. Ubameh b'shofar. Shofar is a tool, it's an instrument. It's a vehicle to get us somewhere. So perhaps the bracha of shofars is really about the power of shofar as an instrument. Maybe that's what this bracha is unpacking. I came across a fantastic piece on the bracha of shofars to the end of the first volume of Sifsei Chaim and the Yom Tov. Sifsei Chaim is a sefer that records the insights of Reb Chaim Friedlander, who for many, many years was a mashgiach in Panevish Yeshiva, and gave very insightful shmuzen throughout the year, and particularly in advance of the Yom Tovim. The first volume is about the Yom Tovim of Elul and Tishrei. And at the end, they put into writing shiurim that he had given on the machzor. Apparently, his son-in-law writes that throughout his decades at Panevish, Rav Chaim Friedlander felt that a major part of his misima, a major part of his mission, was to alert the boys to the significance of davening. And one of the ways he did that was by giving shiur, apparently over the course of his years there, he went through the entire siddur and the entire machzor. He gave Beir Tefillah shiur. This was not elementary school. He felt that this was very significant for people who are already more mature. And they were all recorded, and they published the shiurim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Machzor. So he has a fascinating insight into the bracha of Shofros, which he bases on comments of the Ramchal, of Moshe Chaim Lutzato, famous to us as the author of Nesiyas Yisharm, of Derech Hashem. He quotes from one of his lesser-known works, the Mamre HaChachma. And he says the following. So he says that he develops the idea that the power of shofar is, as in the Ramchal's language, lichpos hara ulchazek hatov. The power of shofar as an instrument, in terms of how it impacts us, is to turn away that which is bad, turn away that which is wrong, and to highlight that which is powerful. To bend over, to curl up the evil, and to reinforce and strengthen the good. Lichpos hara. Earlier today, I had a chance to learn the comments of Sefer HaChinuch with some of you. In Mitzvah Taf Hei, Parshas Pinchas, he discusses the Mitzvah of Shofar. And Sefer HaChinuch, who lived several centuries before the Ramchal, develops a similar idea. He talks about the two ways in which the listening to the Shofar impacts us. He says, number one, Rosh Hashanah has a lot of work to do, so you need, so to speak, music that will energize us. It says a person is doing something physically strenuous, whether it's going to war or maybe something friendlier. We think about it. You have a hard workout, so you have a soundtrack. You have a soundtrack that energizes you. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, we need a soundtrack to energize us for the hard work of Rosh Hashanah. Torer our kochos. And then he says the other angle is, Sefer HaChinuch writes, is that there's profound symbolism in the main part of Tkiyah Shofar. The Tkiyos are the bread that sandwiches the center, which is the Trua. We have three versions of Trua, which we call Shevarim Trua and Shevarim Trua. What they all have in common is that they're broken sounds. The highlight is the broken sound. And Sefer HaChinuch writes that the second major power of the Shofar, in addition to being the soundtrack that energizes us, is that it's the symbolism of the broken sound is reminding us that that's the work we need to do, is to break our Yetzer Hara, to break out of the shackles in which the Yetzer Hara enslaves us, to turn ourselves around from being slaves who are slaves to our appetites to being people who control our appetite, who can indulge at will rather than being forced to just follow along the way our appetites lead us. The power of the shofar, Sefer HaChinuch writes, is the spiritual soundtrack to energize us, to do good, and the symbolism of the broken sound to remind us to break our lesser, our baser side. That's exactly what the Ramchal says. It's l'chazek hatov and l'chpos hara. And the way the Ramchal presents it, it almost sounds like the malach of Borer. It's a power of shofar to sort of sift out what's right and what's wrong, along the lines of what Rosh Hashi was saying before about Emes. Power of the shofar sort of allow us to sift out the good and the bad, and to be able to highlight and reinforce the good and curl up that which is wrong. So Rav Chaim Friedlander suggests that if you look at shofar with that perspective, so then the entire bracha of shofaros is one unified whole. You have the opening theme is Mamad Har Sinai. The middle theme, the psukim from Tehillim, are about shofar, largely in a contemporary context. And the end of the bracha, the psukim from Nevi'im, are about shofar in the future. And that's how we continue in the Chasimus HaBracha, to kab shofar gadol chirusenu v'sanes kabez chirusenu v'karev pizurin, etc., etc. So Chaim Friedlander suggests all of these three steps, past, present, and future, Mamad Har Sinai, present day shofar, and then the shofar of Geula, and Geula in general, because the Chasimus HaBracha goes beyond just blowing of the shofar. It takes us deeper into what Geula, what Yimos HaMashiach will look like in a perfected Olam Hazeh. So he suggests all these three are focusing on different aspects of that work, of the L'chazek HaTov and L'chpos Hara. He says, look, going back to the very beginning of human spiritual history, in Gan Eden Kodem Achet, so the Svarm described that we had an internalized Yetzer Tov, we had an external Yetzer Hara. We really had a lot of clarity about what's right, what's wrong, what's Emes, what's Sheker. Adam and Chava ate of the Eitz Hadas, and everything became confused. And everything became spiritually hazy. That was fixed for the first time at Mamad Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, and that was a tool that allowed us to have clarity. The Maharal comments that when the Gemara describes a Kadosh Baruch Hu holds a mountain over our heads and forces us to accept the Torah, Maharal says it doesn't mean literally that there was a mountain flowing overhead. Hashem could have done that. God can do any miracle he wants. But Maharal says he thinks that the Gemara means something much more profound. God was holding a gun to our heads. Right? In that sense I just said, none of you imagined that literally there was this 100-meter howitzer flowing there. I mean, Hashem could have done that. He can do any miracle he wants. But you understand that to say Hashem held a gun to our head probably means metaphorically Hashem coerced us. The Maharal says that's what the holding the mountain, they said, hold the gun to our head. 2,000 years ago, they said, hold the mountain to our head. That this means Hashem forced us. But the Maharal says it was much more profound. It's this sort of external, you better or else I'll smash you. It was something much more intrinsic, Maharal says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for a moment, allowed everything to be totally clear. There was this one moment where all the, by design, Olam Hazeh is unclear. By design, it's often hard to see what's right, what's wrong. Otherwise, there would be no nisayon. There would be no challenge to all of us. Huh? But there was this one moment, Mamad Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu just peeled everything away. I mean, there's one moment of total spiritual clarity. So it would have made about as much sense to not accept the Torah as to walk off a cliff. For a normal, well-adapted, healthy person, if you're hiking on a ridge trail, an escarpment along a cliff, theoretically one has the Bechir Chavsh to walk off the cliff, but why would you? That's absurd. That's an absurd choice. So for that one moment, it was just as clear to Kol Yisrael to not accept the Torah. I mean, we could say no, but that would be as absurd as walking off a cliff. So there was this intense clarity at the time of Mamad Har Sinai, a clarity which faded with the Chet HaEgel, but never went back to quite as unclear as before. Because although we had lost that intense clarity of Mamad Har Sinai, we had something we didn't have before Mamad Har Sinai, that was the Torah. We had the tool with which to regain clarity. We had the Shmuel given us the tools that are the Torah to figure things out. So life is confusing, life is complicated. But here's a start. You have a Torah, you have a guide, you have a system, something, a toolbox we can use, l'chpos Hara ulachazek hatov. And that's why, let's turn the other way around. That's why there was a shofar at Mamon Har Sinai, to signify that Mamon Har Sinai was this process of sorting out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, I'm giving you tools to undo the Eitz Hadas. I'm giving you tools to be able to sift things out and strengthen your better side. And that's why we begin with Mamon Har Sinai. That's why the bracha of shofar begins with the psicha and psukim of Mamon Har Sinai, because that was shofar in practice. Then the middle, the psukim and neviim, talk about shofar in contemporary life, post Mamon Har Sinai. And then finally, it's not for naught that at the end, the final movement of the bracha is the shofar shel Mashiach. Or let's turn it around. Maybe we could say more essentially, it's not for naught that Mashiach will be heralded by a shofar. It's for the same reason. Because Yemosa Mashiach is a perfect, Olam Hazeh perfected. Olam Hazeh the way it's supposed to be. Still, as Rambam quotes from Amor Shmuel, the physical world won't change, science will still work, technology will still work, but morally, we'll have total clarity. Say Rambam describes at the very end. And the Neviim were interested in Amor Haaretz, Deyes Hashem Kamar Miliyam B'chasim. The tzaddikim throughout generations are interested in Mashiach primarily not because of the way in which life will be simpler, but because life will be spiritually so much clearer. The same Olam Hazeh physically, but morally, spiritually perfected. That will be the final achievement of the work of a shofar. Will be Yemosa Mashiach. So the entire bracha is really tracing throughout history, from the past, Mamon Har Sinai, through the ongoing work of the present, to the climax, the pinnacle, success in the future, Yemosa Mashiach, of the work of the shofar, which is to sort things out. And the truth is, then we understand as well, I would suggest, the way the Gemara presents it. Malchios is this theme, Zichronos is this theme, Ubameh Bashofar. Because a shofar is a tool, and it's a tool specifically for the themes of Malchios Zichronos. It's a tool for us to be able to try to discern HaKadosh Baruch Hu as best we can, Shetam Lichuni Aleichem, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, to reshape our lives around the model that He has for us, and to understand that He sees us as well. So with that in mind, we understand that the place that the bracha of shofros has, it gives us a sense of the weight of the work we have to do, and a sense of optimism that there's so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted us with, and so much that we can do in terms of improving ourselves. To have ongoing process, and it's a process going on for a long time, it's going to go. Yet for more time, I demo some Mashiach. We hope that end will be soon. But we have the obligation and the opportunity to participate ourselves in the work of shofar. I end with the one final closing vart, quick insight, at the beginning of the bracha. The first presentation in the bracha, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you appeared to us within your holy cloud. Ruchai Friedlander says that's an ironic sort of paradox. You made yourself clear in a cloud. You ata niglesa banan kvodecha. Usually, when things are cloudy, they're not clear. You would be nigla by moving the cloud away. Funny. There was Gilui, there was an Anan, but to put them together, what's that supposed to mean? So he suggests, he gives a fantastic mashal. A little over a year ago, we got to enjoy a solar eclipse. So if you want to see the solar eclipse, what do? To see it more clearly, you put on sunglasses. Well, that's the same paradox. You want to see more clearly, you put on sunglasses? The answer is absolutely. Because to see it without sunglasses, it would be way too much. We couldn't handle that. It would just knock us out, then we couldn't see anything. You put on the sunglasses, then you're able to see as much as you can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdo, he said, without the Anan, it would be too much. And that's the way Olam Hazeh is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally gloves his hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally masks himself. both because that allows for Nisayan, and because a full Gila Shechina, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa, it will be too much. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, clouded things a little bit, gave us the sunglasses so that we could look and could take in as much as we're capable of doing. Ata Neglesa, Banan Kvodecha. Sometimes the fact that things are hazy is a chesed, because it gives us the opportunity to see more, ironically, than we otherwise would. See you next time. Good given share. Amen.